Plug everybody in. Mr. Mann, how are you today?
I'm just great, thank you. How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Fine. What's your background? Is it Alan Mann, right?
It's Donald Mann.
Okay, I was looking you up on Google, and boy, there's a lot of guys by that name. You know that?
Yeah, there's some pretty good ones. There's a guy who's actually got a Navy SEAL who's written an excellent book about his life as a SEAL.
But let's talk about you, Alan Mann.
Okay, my name is Donald Mann.
All right,
I'm the author of a book called "Okay, God, Now What." My background is trained in science and in business, and I've been a corporate turnaround guy most of my life. Helped people at small and large companies.
Is your buddy Romney?
Well, let me put it this way: I think he's a fine candidate. I haven't ever met him, so I reserve the term buddies for people
I was a good friend of his father's.
Really?
George, yeah, back in 1967.
Oh, great.
I was helping him become president, but we failed. George failed, and I failed with my help, you know.
Oh, well, certainly we're hoping for the best things tonight for the debate.
Mitt was about 14 years old at the time.
Uh-huh.
We never talked about Mitt at all, and I got pretty well acquainted with George, Mitt's father.
Oh, wow. Well, that's pretty impressive to me.
Thank you. Well, okay, now what's your take on what's going on here?
Well, my take is...
Let me tell you this. I used to teach propaganda analysis.
Uh-huh.
I was in World War II.
Yes.
Of course, we had totally different propaganda in World War II than we have today.
Yes.
But it was still propaganda.
Yes.
And so let's talk about that. What can you give me on that?
Well, first of all, any kind of advertising that persuades people to do something and to control their actions is propaganda. So propaganda ranges.
I own 7 radio stations. Am I a propaganda king?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're conveying information that, there's two basic kinds of information. There's information that's just facts, and there's information you're to act upon. And the information you're to act upon is what advertising is all about.
A call to action should be in every ad.
Yes.
Now, propaganda is not necessarily bad.
Oh, no, it's...
It has a connotation to being bad, but propaganda can be very good.
Well,
in other words, when my doctor propagandizes me to live better, eat better, and take better care of my health, that's propaganda, but it's good propaganda.
Absolutely. We actually, when we communicate with people all the time during the course of the day, what we listen to, all of it is propaganda in the terms of the strict academic definition of the word.
That's right. It's persuasion. When you're dating a girl and you tell her you love her, that's propaganda.
Yep. And she's going to measure the depth of your propaganda.
And whether she buys it.
Then she's measured your depth. It's pretty deep.
You're lying. Well, what have you discovered here? Let's analyze the Romney and the president's talking points, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What's your take on all that?
Okay, well, my first take is, of course, my background is somewhat scientific, and I understand that the process that we're going to see tonight has to do with presenting messages that deal with people where they are today. They've been working on us for the last 6 months or so, a year, trying to develop in us attitudes and concepts that they can readily encapsulate on and get us to vote for them. And one of the major things they're going to do is try to link that into their statements tonight. So they're going to try to persuade us. And if they follow the typical track of most political activities, they're going to speak 5% good and 95% bad. So they're going to give out a lot of negative information. They're going to try to induce fear in their listeners so they won't go for the other guy.
Okay, and that's just the nature of what's going on.
That's the nature of politics. Positive political campaigns don't win elections. It's a proven fact that what you need to do, typically a winning campaign has something like 5 to 20% positive, and the rest of it's all negative, in spite of the fact people complain about it. It's what wins elections.
What do you think of Todd Akin?
Well, I think that, in my mind, he is someone that has far more potential than he's living out.
Todd Akin and I are very good friends. I had him as a guest on one of my St. Louis radio stations day before yesterday or whenever it was. And after the show, he and I talked for about 7 or 8 minutes, just, you know, privately between the two of us. So I know him real well. I've known him for years, you know.
Okay, so
he's a real nice guy, you know.
What's your take on him?
Beg pardon?
What's your take on him?
Well, my take on him, that he's a real nice guy. He's very fundamental. He's very religious, and he's very open. The problem is that he is talking and acting as if this were 1922 rather than 2012, you know?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when I was a boy, you could do things totally different than you do today. You can't do today what you did. In other words, when I was in school, I was real gay. When we had the spring recess, I'd go out and chase butterflies, and I was the gayest guy there is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I say that today, what they have done then, they've captured this wonderful word of gayness, which is a beautiful, beautiful thing, and they have made a homosexual thing out of this wonderful word of gay. Now, I resent that. I really resent them capturing and changing the meaning of gay, because I like to be gay. Now, in today's world, I can't be gay, because the minute I am gay, you say, are you homosexual? No, I'm not homosexual. I'm just gay.
And most of the people that I've seen like that aren't very gay in that respect either.
That's right. The gay people are not gay.
I think many gay people will disagree with both of you on that. I think they're pretty.
I would expect you to say that.
Oh, I have. I've had many friends like that over the years. But in general, particularly when you see the rabid political orientation, they're angry. And the key issue is, and this is what my book is about, is how to build a self-identity that is in God, that establishes you firmly to take on and handle anything to His glory.
Well, now, can you give your overall philosophy in a paragraph?
In a paragraph, well, yeah. Hey, Vern, you know I can write long paragraphs too. I'll do this one short. The basically is that we operate by internal slogans all the time. If you want to change, if you want to change your future, you have to change your internal slogans, and it takes time and purposeful intention to change your slogans. It doesn't happen to most of us by accident. It can, but it doesn't.
And we call that internal dialogue now, too.
They call it self-talk, internal dialogue, the voice of the conscience, all of that. All comes from your subconscious mind. We live 95% of the time out of our subconscious mind, which is run by habit.
Let me just say that I think we need to go back to basics and talk about propaganda for just a minute, because I'm going to give you the definition in Wikipedia, which is not my go-to source, trust me. But it's 2.5 paragraphs. And let me get to the bottom, because I think this is why people, when you say the word propaganda, they get all bent out of shape. Propaganda is a form of communication that is aimed at influencing the attitude of a community towards some cause or position by presenting only one side of an argument. Propaganda is usually repeated and dispersed over a wide variety of media in order to create the chosen result in audience attitudes. As opposed to impartially providing information, propaganda in its most basic sense presents information primarily to influence an audience. Propaganda often presents facts selectively, thus possibly lying by omission, to encourage a particular synthesis. It goes on in the bottom, says, while the term propaganda has justifiably acquired a strongly negative connotation by association with its most manipulative and generalistic examples, I don't know what that means, for instance, Nazis propaganda used to justify the Holocaust, propaganda in its original sense was neutral and could refer to uses that were generally benign or innocuous, such as public health recommendations. I wanted to get to the bottom part, because we kind of have a negative connotation about propaganda now.
We couldn't have, and that's one of my goals.
Well,
is to change that.
The top that they're talking about is by presenting only one side or skewing it. That's done on purpose now. It's not even an accident.
Now, wait a minute. If that's the case, and I agree with you that it is,
yeah.
When I go to church, I am 100% in propaganda. Because the whole thing in the church is not half the devil and half God. They're not presenting both sides of it. What they're doing, they're giving you the propaganda of Christianity.
Well, I'm going to tell you that at my church, we do talk about the other side of it, too. We believe that Jesus Christ is the way, but we also recognize that some people don't. For instance, Mitt Romney doesn't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Does that make him unqualified to be president? That's the kind of conversation that we have to have in America. We have to be able to say, I respect and like him and can follow him, even though he doesn't believe what I believe. But the propaganda I wanted to talk about, just for a moment, if I could, is that negative one where we see the candidates go back 8 years and pull out a soundbite that was meant to be one thing, and they conjure it to be the total opposite and put it in an ad today. That really has no, what's the word?
Well, here,
honor. That's the word. It has no honor.
Here's my take on that. If you don't really understand propaganda and you don't really study it, how in the world can you live in this world today with all this propaganda going on? You must end up to be very naive.
Well, see, all of that made it sound like it's wrong for us for not getting it. What I think we need to put the thrust on, it's wrong for them to do it. Why am I going to criticize everybody for not getting it, but not going to criticize the people for doing it? There's no honor and integrity in
well,
it, and both sides do it.
See what our guests
I tried
about.
To, but you answered for him. Donald?
Well, I tell you what, you know.
Donald, you see what I have to put up with?
God bless you both. I'll put it that way.
Keep them young. But you just know what I'm saying, Donald. Could you speak to that?
Well,
integrity factor.
Well, the integrity factor, in my opinion, one camp in this election is far less integrity than the other. And when somebody gets on and
political, but ask why they do it. Why do Americans fall for it? Why do we? You said
okay.
Campaigns don't work. What is wrong when we keep saying we hate it, but it's the only thing that works?
It's because we ourselves don't have built into ourselves the Christ identity God spent so much effort to give to us. It's a process you have to do on purpose. And if you don't do it on purpose, you will have someone else develop a different self identity, and that will change how you act.
Both sides, in my opinion, in this campaign, have misleading ads. Misleading ads. Totally and 100% misleading. So how do we filter through all of that?
Well, I think at the end of the day, that the way you filter through that is to look at the basic elements of the platform and decide which one you can go with the most.
So just give them a pass for running these negative ads?
Well, you can't.
Listen,
you can't.
I'm running negative ads, but it's the lesser of two evils, so I'm going to go with it.
Well, that's at the end of the day, when we're down to two choices, you have to pick for whatever reason that you pick. You want to hope that you, again, we're a Christian nation, and the other part of being a Christian nation is we're requested in the Bible many times to pray for our government and for our leaders and to really trust God to work through our leaders to get the right things done.